Georgia football cranking up in 73 days. And time to bring in Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. Jake, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
We are doing great. Getting closer and closer to kickoff, even though we still have, even though today is actually the first day of summer. But still, at one of those little speed bumps to get over to get closer and closer to the season. How much is the, are you guys feeling, you know, at your website or your message boards, all that stuff about Zamir White's announcement that's coming up next week?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, and I'll give Zamir a lot of credit for this, a lot of kids don't do this, and it's tough to do. You know, I think when you know, you know, but he's kind of had this set in stone for a while, so there hasn't been a huge buildup. I mean, I think probably starting next week we'll start doing some of the preview stuff. But, I mean, barring anything just completely unforeseen at this particular moment, I mean, Georgia's going to get a commitment from the top running back in the country. And I like him a lot. I think he's a really good player. And I think Georgia's going to, you know, just add to that running back room and running back depth that they have there, another special kid, another explosive kid. But, you know, I think fans have, you know, I don't want to pat us on the back, because I'm sure other places have done it well, but I feel like there's been such a good job of getting a solid bead on his recruitment and where he's showing up for visits and things like that, that folks are they feel like they know. I think Georgia fans feel comfortable that they're going to get this kid, and I think that there's somebody that he's somebody that they've had in the class for a while, and I think there's more buzz and build up on the quarterback situation, where the Bulldogs are after a couple of five-star guys, one of them being an in-state guy in Justin Fields.
Well, let's talk about Fields, and I guess the other guy you're talking about is the one from California, Corral. Or is it pronounced? How does he pronounce it? Corral? Coral?
I believe it's Corral.
Corral. What's your own Jay Crow take on those two guys?
Well, I think there's a good chance Georgia's going to get one of them. I don't think it's a guarantee. I don't think there's anything that, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Georgia's going to get one of them. But I think there's a good chance Georgia can get one of those guys. I think if you're a Georgia fan, I wrote something about this yesterday over at Dogs 247. It was the VIP piece behind their paywall and everything. But, I think if you're a Georgia fan, you want to get Fields. I think that's your number one guy. He's from the state of Georgia. I'm not one of these people that buys into, you get this guy, other kids want to come play with him type. I think that at the end of the day, it's such a selfish decision has to be made. We've seen kids go on the record of saying, oh, we're a package deal, and then go to different places. But I do think that name recognition, you know, if you're talking about the maximum impact within your footprint, which is the most important if you're in Georgia, I think Fields gives you that. But I also think he gives you something right away that you can use, and that's his running ability. He's a short yardage weapon. He's a red zone weapon from the day he steps on campus. And all of that's really important. I think that's something that Georgia can use, especially when you look at their quarterback situation, their red zone woes, somebody to take some pressure off the running backs in the red zone, stuff like that. And I think he can do that until he's ready to take over as the full-time starter, as the quarterback. I mean, it's tough to play quarterback in the SEC. There's some great defenses. There's a lot he's going to have to learn. And I think that you know, a chance to maybe get his feet wet early is something he would benefit from. So I think if Georgia had their choice, they want Fields, but they can't go wrong with Corral. No matter which guy they get, he's going to be the best athlete in that quarterback room the second he steps on campus. I mean, you know, Corral is a very, very athletic kid. You know, but like I said it on the board earlier this week, he's got borderline elite. Borderline dual threat tools. I mean, if he wanted to be a runner, if he wanted to take design runs and read options and things like that and do damage with them, he could. But he doesn't, and he's more of a pocket guy, and he navigates the pocket and stays behind the line of scrimmage and looks downfield. So I think Georgia couldn't go wrong with either guy, but if you got a preference, you want Justin Fields.
What was the backstory, or if you know, on him decommitting from Southern Cal?
Don't really know. I mean, you know, TMZ had the report that Corral got in a fight with Wayne Gretzky's kid out at the school that he was at previously. Maybe that had a little something to do with it. I really don't know the backstory. I do know this. He was in Athens for 2 days right around G-Day. Saw him at G-Day, and I was like, who is this kid? And I was down there on the sideline, went up top, figured out who it was, and found out he was in town for a couple of days. So, you know, I think there are a lot of schools are recruiting him hard. But I'll say this too. I mean, you know, Tom Loy, who covers Notre Dame for us, who's also just a phenomenal recruiting guy. He was out at the quarterback retreat where Easton and Fromm were, you know, I guess around a month ago, three weeks to a month ago. And he said at that time he was very close to flipping his crystal ball pick to Georgia because he thought that Corral had had a really good time there, that Georgia had done a really good job recruiting him. So I think it's probably a number of factors. It always is. It's very rarely just one thing. But I do believe that part of it is the fact that Georgia's just recruited the heck out of a kid. And you got to credit Jim Chaney there. I mean, I think that he catches a lot of flack. The offensive coordinator always does for how the offense performed last year. He catches some flack because he hasn't been known as an elite recruiter. But I think he's doing a really good job at Georgia thus far.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.
I wanted to bring it back to some of the players that are on this team. And I feel kind of like Sony Michel. Disrespect probably isn't the word I want to use, but he certainly gets overlooked because of Nick Chubb being on this team. And I think that Sony is just as important, if not more important, than Nick to the team, just based on, you know, what he can do and kind of the versatility he brings to the offense. So is it just a case of Nick Chubb being just such a great player that Sony Michel gets a little overlooked sometimes?
Well, it's like this, and you know, obviously, I kind of look at it as Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, right? I mean, Jordan's the big name. Jordan has a defined role. He's the guy who's he's the number one. I mean, he was the scorer. He was the alpha dog on the court at all times when they were with the Bulls. And Scottie Pippen, who was a top, you know, one of the best top 50 or top 100 NBA players of all time when they did that countdown a while back. You know, he did a lot of different things. He'd bring the ball up every now and then. He would play. You know, he was a defender. He'd be a shutdown defender. He would, you know, he did a lot of different things offensively. And so I think that's kind of what you run into there, is that the guy with a defined role, the guy that you know what he's going to do and when he's going to do it, gets a little more credit than maybe the guy who does a little bit of everything. And so, you know, yeah, Sony Michel is absolutely a valuable piece to this team. Even more so from a leadership standpoint than people realize, because yeah, Nick Chubb's a leader. He's a lead by example type guy. He's a hard worker, but Michelle's more vocal. Sony is the guy who's going to pipe up in a huddle and get on another player's case. You saw him do it a couple times last year where he kind of had something to say to Easton after the play if you were watching it closely. But I think Sony Michel is an incredibly valuable player, and one that I think this season hinges on them finding a few more ways to get him involved. I mean, he rushed for, I think it was 840 yards last year, and that was when that was basically in 11 games because he only had three carries in the first two games. So I think that he's you know, bound for a big year. I think he can put up 1,000 yards. I think Chubb can put up 1,000 yards. And what you got to do more than anything, though, is find a way to get Sony involved in the passing game, because you get him out on the perimeter, not only is he a guy who can catch it and get upfield, make a guy miss, he's probably one of your better blockers there too. I mean, he's a very good all-around football player. I think it was, you know, 2014 when he made his debut there against Clemson. You know, you were listening to Brad Nessler and Todd Blackledge, maybe I think it was, on that call, and they said that Mike Bobo at the time, you know, said that Sony Michel was maybe the best football player on the team, that he just did so much so well. And I think that's something that can help Georgia win a lot of ball games, because – and Kirby alluded to this last year. You know, Jim Chaney alluded to this in a couple times. He got to talk to us. You got to learn your players. You got to learn about your guys. You got to learn what they can do and what they can't do. And I think just that alone, just that element of the staff being more familiar with Sony and what he can do, is going to allow them to use him better.
By the way, do you feel like last year the offensive line struggled to the point where it was tough for the rest of the offense, or do you feel like the Dogs didn't get enough out of what they should have been able to do?
I'm sorry, John. I lost you there.
I was asking, do you feel like, you know, we're talking about last year's offense a little bit here. Do you feel like maybe because of the offensive line, maybe because of some deficiencies, the Dogs were able to get more out of what, or not more, but at least a decent amount of what they could? Or do you feel like it was a little bit of a fail offensively, and they should have gotten more than they did?
You know, that's so tough, because I think the offensive line, while it did struggle, and it deserves you know, the criticism, a lot of the criticism that he gets. I think it maybe gets a little too much sometimes. You know, Cole Kubelik, who I think does a really good job analyzing offensive line play, put a few plays up on Twitter a couple of days ago, and those plays illustrated, you know, showed one play where Lamont Gilliard and you know, Greg Pike come off the ball, they blow their guy up, they blow him right into the second level into the next guy, and then there's still two unblocked defenders right there to make the play because teams are just stuffing the box against Georgia. So I think having a freshman quarterback hurt. I think having an offensive line that was very inconsistent. I think it was good at times. I mean, the way it played against a good South Carolina defense, the way it did against North Carolina, I think it showed flashes of getting it together and gelling. I don't think it was completely incapable. But I do believe that when you can't rely on a group, when you can't think, you know, say, hey, we're going to get 2 yards here, we're going to get two, you know, we're going to get 3 yards there, I think it really does, you know, hamper your offense. The drops, I don't think that Sony Michel and Nick Chubb had particularly great years last year. You go back and look at some runs, and there may have been some space there, and they kind of took the wrong track, made a wrong cut. So I think it was basically a team effort. And another thing, and I keep harping on this, and this is why I expect so much more from this offense this year. They were in their third coordinator, third offensive line coach, third running back coach, and third receivers coach in the past three years. So, you know, that lack of continuity is tough to overcome. You started to hear around the bowl game some of the players kind of say, hey, you know, we feel like we, you know, got this figured out or that figured out. And I feel like late in the season they did. I mean, you look at how they ran the ball against TCU. They had to make some in-game adjustments. You know, you can't blame the Georgia Tech loss on the offensive line for sure. I mean, Georgia ran the ball, you know, right down Tech's throat. You know, even Auburn, you know, I know Auburn has had one of the better defenses in the SEC. Georgia found a way to, you know, put up a 100-yard rusher and hold the ball for about 7-8 minutes there at the end of the game. So I think that it's a team that got better as the year went along. I think it has a chance up front to be even better this year just because they're going to be bigger, they're going to be more athletic, they're going to be stronger, and just more talented unit in general.
Talking with Jake Rowe, Dogs 247, 247sports.com.
Is there any update on the status of Natori Johnson? Because I knew that there was maybe a little bit of a possibility of an academic issue there, but has there been any update in that?
He didn't report with the rest of the team. I know that other outlets have reported that he is now with the team. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you. I didn't know that you could start the middle of June, in the middle of summer session, you start classes in the middle of that point. So, you know, I do believe he's going to be on campus if he's not already. There are three guys that aren't on campus right now. I mean, well, Natori may be. I haven't been able to confirm that. You've got Natori Johnson, who may or may not be on campus. He definitely didn't report with the other guys. And then you've got Robert Beal, the defensive end out of Peachtree Ridge, defensive end outside linebacker out of Peachtree Ridge. And then Devontae Wyatt, who's you know, the kid out of DeKalb County Towers High School, he's also hasn't reported yet. I do think that Beal will be on campus soon, probably at the beginning of July. I have no idea on Wyatt. Things have been just radio silent there. I know he had grade problems early on, so we'll see how it goes. But I do expect Beal and Natori Johnson, if he isn't already, to be on campus.
Would that be, I mean, since Deontay Demery's already been dismissed from the group, and Devontae Wyatt, if he didn't make it, how big does that hurt this offensive line haul?
Well, Wyatt is a defensive lineman. So,
oh, I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. I apologize for that. So I mean, if Demery being out.
If for some reason Natori didn't make it, then, I mean, that really throws a damper on this offensive line class. You go from, you know, six signees to four, and you know, you lose a couple of really talented four-star players. So, But I'm pretty sure Natori's going to make it.
Well, it is interesting.
Like I said, if he hasn't already.
Well, it is interesting, too, in the sense that I guess is that, you know, Georgia didn't sign a ton of guys on the defensive front. But then again, I know there's so much coming back on that side of the ball. But, I mean, where would you consider if Wyatt didn't make it? And I hopefully Beal. I mean, that would be terrible if he didn't make it. But how big would it be on those guys?
I think it'd be pretty big. I mean, you want to have class separation there, and I think Wyatt is a high ceiling guy. I mean, he's a very athletic kid, very raw. But you know, you look at how Georgia's recruiting on the defensive line in the current class, and their recruitment of defensive tackles. It doesn't seem there's a lot of traction, and You know, I mean, you've got to keep stockpiling those defensive linemen. I mean, they had a great defensive line class in 16. You know, they had a little bit more of a lackluster class in 17, and I know that was going to be tough to begin with because, like you said, all those guys coming back. But, you know, when you look down the road at 2018 and, you know, 2019, it doesn't seem that Georgia's just on fire or anything. So, you know, I mean, you really need to get everybody you can get. I mean, it's probably one of those situations where if Georgia had a scholarship and there was a guy like a Brian Herrien out there floating around, you know, as a defensive lineman, I think Georgia would have to take a crack at him just because, you know, John Atkins has gone after this year. Trent Thompson's gone after this, probably gone after this year if he has a decent season, and I think he will. I mean, you know, you got a chance that maybe a Jonathan Ledbetter is gone, a Daquan Hawkins-Buckle. If he has a really good season, there's some, you know, they could be in a bad position here in the next 2 years if they don't keep stockpiling those linemen.
Yeah, I hope those guys are all having seasons where they might be gone after their junior year. I mean, that's what you hope for when you sign guys. But like you said, got to have those that next tier ready to go too. So that's what gets a little bit scary.
Yeah, for sure. If you look ahead to 2018, then you know Julian Rochester and David Marshall. I mean, those guys have been really good thus far in their Georgia careers. They keep progressing. I mean, they could be three and done players. So, I mean, if you don't have the guys waiting in the wings, you're playing with fire a little bit. And I think that you have to, you know, when you consider the big picture, you have to look at 2018. You have to look at 2019. And thus far, Georgia's just not. It doesn't seem like the talent in state is up anyway. But then you don't see Georgia getting major traction with out-of-state guys yet. Not that they won't, not that it's a dire situation or anything, but it's something that you have to just, you know, kind of look at if you're trying to analyze the whole thing.
Well, I mean, over the next 2 years, Georgia has 10 verbal commitments, 6 for 2018 and 4 for 2019. And I think it's half and half, in-state, out-of-state. I might be off by one or whatever, but maybe it's just that doesn't mean anything at this point, but that's just how it is as far as the numbers for number of Georgia verbal commits versus out-of-state verbal commits. And yeah, I didn't know that meant anything or not.
I don't think it means anything. I mean, I do think it's kind of odd, though, because you see Kirby come in that first full cycle for the 2017 class, and he just murders the state of Georgia. I mean, in such a way that I don't know that Georgia's ever recruited that well in the state of Georgia. And then you come back in this class, and I mean, I'm not one of these all Kirby's getting his teeth kicked in this class or anything, but Georgia's getting pushed around a little bit in their own state, and I don't think there's any way to deny that. I still think it's going to be a great class. I still think they're going to be able to reach out of state, but it's just kind of a deviation of you know what happened, what you thought was going to be the case. I think many people had that expectation after that first class that, yeah, the state of Georgia is going to belong to Georgia for the foreseeable future, and all of a sudden you see Clemson, you see Ohio State, you see Alabama and Florida State and those schools really almost like taking offense to the fact that Georgia recruited their own backyard so well, and they're coming hard in this class. And we'll see how it shakes out. I think Georgia's done a good job of reaching out of state and getting themselves in the conversation in a big way with some of the big-time recruits. But I do think they really do need to kind of amp their efforts up in-state and do a little bit better job there, because you got a guy like Kyler McMichael from Greater Atlanta Christian who's going to be deciding on Friday, I believe it is. I don't think it's going to be Georgia at this time, but nobody really knows. If he gets away, you've already had, you know, Brenton Cox get away. They've got a good chance to reel Adam Anderson back in from LSU, put a crystal ball in for Georgia for him to flip back here earlier this week. So, you know, there's still a lot of meat left on the bone, but, they've got to do a better job of locking down the state than they have, you know, the early part of this class. And the good news for that is nothing matters except what comes in the early signing period, whenever the heck that's going to be now and February.
Talk a little bit more about Adam Anderson. That's kind of turning into kind of a interesting story there.
Yeah, I mean, he committed. He flipped to LSU on G Day with a couple of other teammates, Jaquan Griffin and Jamarcus Chapman, and so three Rome kids going to LSU. I think they felt good about that one. Well, Jamarcus Chapman decommitted from LSU this past week. Looks like Tennessee's trending there. Jaquan Griffin is another guy who recently got a Tennessee offer. I think Tennessee might have a chance to get him. I don't think Adam Anderson has much interest in Tennessee. I believe, you know, behind the scenes here, Alabama and Georgia are probably the main contenders for a guy like Adam Anderson. Georgia got in there on him. Georgia was that team. Georgia was that guy, that 10th grader that started liking this, you know, a junior or senior in high school started liking this 9th grader before anybody else did. And so she went ahead and, you know, decided she was going to settle down with him. But all of a sudden, everybody else started coming looking, and she got a little confused. And that's how Adam Anderson's kind of treated his recruitment is, you know, everybody wants him now, and so I think he wanted to open things up and definitely explore his options. But I do think Georgia's going to have an excellent chance to get him back. They've had him back on campus a couple of times since he decommitted from LSU, and Kevin Scherer has been relentless in his pursuit of this kid. I mean, he's a freak. He's a Leonard Floyd type. He's 6'5", 220 pounds. You know, moves incredibly well at that size, one of the better athletes in the country and a top 40 player for a reason. And Georgia really needs to get him back. And if we're really going to talk about it heavily, they really need to get Adam. I mean, not Adam Anderson, they need to get Brenton Cox back as well. I mean, Cox is a guy that was a strong Georgia lean before Ohio State swooped in there and got him. And they would be really, really well served to get those two and add Caleb Tanner from Miller Grove. That'd be a heck of a pass rushing class.
Ooh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Great stuff as always, Jake. We appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch you again next Wednesday.
All right, fellas. We'll see you.
All right, Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.